Today's shiur is beginning at the top of Daf Chof Vov Amid Aleph, Maseches Bava Basra. The topic heading that we've noted on the side, Psoilas Shel Pishton, debris from the preparing of the flax. In preparing flax, one would air it out. The note continues, Hamanayer Pishtono, one who's shaking out the flax plants, the Ofa Hapsoilis Beruach, and the debris flies in the wind, the Hizik Lechavero, and causes damage to someone, some bystander. The Gemara inside, the top line, Debei Bar Merion Brei Derovin, Ki Havu Naftsi Kisna. When they, at this Bei Bar Merion, would shake out their kisna, their flax, have a ozlo raksa, the debris that emanated from the flax would go, umasko inshian, and hurt people, damage people. Osu lekame de Ravina, omar lehu. And Ravina answered, paskind, ki amrinon, moide rabiosi begiri delay, that which we say. We said this on the previous daf, that Rabbi Yossi is moda to Mechayev. He agrees that there's culpability on the part of a damager when it's coming from him directly. Hani mili de ko'azlo mikoichoi. That is true when it comes as a result of his own force. Hocho, in this case, they're airing out the flax, and the debris is carried by the wind and then damages. In this case, Zika hu deko mamtila. It's the wind that mamtila that brings over the debris. The Gemara asks, does wind intervention diminish the amount of responsibility? Maskiflo mor baravashi. My shno mizore veruach mesayato. What's different between the case at hand with the airing out of the flax and a halacha from Hilchos Shabbos, the process of winnowing, whereby you throw up the grains into the wind carries away the debris from the grain, and I am chayev. I am guilty of violating the laws of Shabbos. What causes me to be in violation? Is it not the wind? Is it not that the wind is ascribed to the person who's involved with the activity? Amrua kamei de mreimar. So this was presented to mreimar. Amar lehu, hainu zora v'ruach mesayato. In fact, as far as Amemar is concerned, they are one and the same. Just like regarding Shabbos, it's considered his own force, it's considered his action. Regarding Mezikin, the same is to be said as well. However, Ravina didn't feel that way. Ula Ravina maishno migetz hayoitze mitachas apatish vehizik. It's very interesting that the Gemara is asking not from the Hilchos Shabbos issue in trying to press Ravina's point, but rather it shifted to another halacha. Rashi, which we'll take a look at a little bit later, will address this particular issue. The question at hand is, Ravina, who seems to want to relieve the flax shaker from responsibility, has to explain this halacha. Person who's a blacksmith and he's banging away with his hammer and a spark flies out, and that spark flies and causes damage, and the halacha is that the smith is culpable, that he's chayev. Why then are the people who are shaking out the flax not chayev? More answers. Hasam nicholei delezel. In the case of the spark, the blacksmith is interested in that spark flying away. He doesn't want the spark to fall around him and ignite material that's in his immediate vicinity. So he's very happy that it flies away. Hacha, in the case of the flax processors, they don't have any particular interest in the debris flying away, flying far away. Hacha lo nichole de lezel. Let's take a look at the Rashi. On the second narrow line, Ulu Ravina, Maishna, when the Gemara wanted to ask on Ravina, it didn't press the Hilchos Shabbos point. True, that was Mar Baravashi's kasha. Why are you being lenient on the flax waivers when we find by Hilchos Shabbos that one's chayef? The Gemara, as we said, did not press that point any further, but shifted over to the blacksmith and the spark. So Rashi says, Bishlamo zoyre v'ruach mesayato, lo havyulei pircha. The issue of the Hilchos Shabbos is not a kasha on, it doesn't present a total difficulty to Ravina. The Kosova Ravina might hold, Mamoina me isur Shabbos lo yafinan, that the realm of financial responsibility is not derived from halachas that concern Hilchos Shabbos. They are two different legal realms. One being a more a religious type ritualistic realm, the other one being financial. The Hasam, the standards that are held in Hilchos Shabbos, are different. Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah. Planned and designed activities is what the Torah prohibits. V'chi ha'gavim b'tarsina lei l'ha p'ircha b'vavakam b'penes son l'dir. And thusly is answered as well in Maseches Bava Kama. Therefore, the Gemara went over to another topic of a much similar nature, namely the realm of finances and tort responsibility. The Mishnah, Lo yita adam ilon samuch l'sade chavero, elo im kein hirchik mimenu arba amois. Illustration 401 illustrates this. This is a topic we've seen before. The Gemara will bring a brisa at the opening of the Gemara to explain that this distancing is kedei avodas ho'ilonos, or avodas hakerem, to allow for a plow to plow the area around the trees and not encroach onto the neighbor's property. Echod gifanem ve'echod kol ilon. This standard applies to all types of trees. All types of trees that one tills and cares for. Hoya goder beintayim. If, however, there's a fence between the grain field and the trees, ze soimech legeder mikan, veze soimech legeder mikan. He can plant his trees right up to the fence. There's no fear of his plow encroaching onto the property of his neighbor. Illustration 403. Hoyu shroshim yoitzim l'soich shel chavero. The root system of the trees is going into, penetrating into the field of his neighbor. The neighbor is allowed to do the following. Ma'amik shloshet fochim kidei shelo yakev etz ha'machresha. He can dig to a depth of 3 tfochim and rip out any roots that he comes across so that his plow is not interfered with while it's plowing. Illustration 404. Hoya chofer bor shiach u'ma'ora. If the neighbor plans to dig one of these types of diggings, the depressions, kotzeitz v'yorei v'ho'etzim shelo. He is allowed to dig as deep as he wants, and the etzim belong to him. The Rashi points out that the Gemara will have to explain to whom. Tana. We have a Tanaic source that deals with the issue of the distancing of 4 amas of the trees from the neighbor's field. Tana, arba amos sh'amru, kedei avoidas hakerem. As we explained before, the 4 amas is the amount necessary for the plow to plow around the trees. As we go on in the Gemara, we have maybe already noticed a Roman numeral 1. Where there's a 1, there's got to be a 2. And you'll notice that a few lines later, at a point in which the Gemara, there's a squiggled underlined expression, V'ika de Rami la Mirma. That indicates there's another version. This style of Gemara we've actually seen in this Masechet already. The note on the side, the Nosei and Mivneh, features the triangle and the 1 and 2. Shmuel, he is in the triangle. Beis Lishonos, B'inyan Arba Amois, Dekotoni, Baharchokas Ilon, Mistech Avero. There will be two Lishonos dealing with the 4 Amas that you need to distance. And the Gemara will point out, Hainu Be'eretz Yisrael, this is characteristic of only of Eretz Yisrael, Avol Be'bovel, Sagi B'shnei Amos. As far as Bovel is concerned, he'd have to distance himself only 2 Amos. Going into the Gemara, bearing in mind that there are 2 Lishonos that essentially say the same thing, but from different angles. Omar Shmuel, Lo Yishonu Elo Be'eretz Yisrael. The distance that was given in the source of 4 Amos is characteristic of Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Bovel. Tanya Nami Hochi, another Tanaic source that bears this out. The Gemara will present this Brisa, and then in some semi-rhetorical fashion will say, but the Mishnah says a different amount. You can see from the markings, the first source that it will be introduced to says Shte Amos. You notice the dot underline. And then afterwards, we emphasize the 4, the arba, also with a dashed underline. And the resolution will be 2 is characteristic of Bovel and 4 Eretz Yisrael, like Shmuel said. So we see this now inside Tanya Nami Hochi Lo Yita Odom Ilon Somoch L'Stei Chavero Elayim Kein Hirchik Mimenu Shtei Amos. The Gemara asks V'Hanan Tanan Arba Amos. Elolav, Kiddush Shmuel, the resolution of the two sources, one saying Shtei and one saying Arba, is as Shmuel said, Shma Mino. This supports Shmuel's contention that the distance of 4 is limited to Eretz Yisrael. V'iko de Rami lo Mirma. Another version of this same Gemara is to take the two sources, raise them immediately as contradictory, and then bring in Shmuel to resolve the contradiction. Tanan. Lo yita odom ilon somach l'stei chaver olim kein hirchik mimenu arba amos v'hotanya shtei amos. Hence a contradiction. One says 4, one says 2. Amar Shmuel lo kashya. No contradiction. Kan bebovel, kan be'eretz Yisrael. As we go on into Gemara, we'll take advantage of illustration 405. And we'll also note the note on the side, because we're going to encounter another marking, a double underline with dots in it. We'll note what it says on the side in our introductory remarks. Havu le hano dikli amitra. Case of his having one first is Rava bar Avchanan, later in the Gemara you'll see Rav Papa. They have palm trees growing on a border between two areas. Shnei Maisim Shehoyu Lohem Dekolim Al Meitzar Chavirehem. Okay, let's see this in the Gemara. Rava Bar Rav Chonon Havu Lehano Dikli Amitra De Pardesa De Rav Yosef. He had these palms growing on the border of the vineyard belonging to Rav Yosef. Havu Osu Tzipoiri Yasvig Bedikli. Birds came along, sat on the palms that were owned by Rava, v'nachti bepardesa, and then flew down and settled in the vineyard, umafsedile, and they ruined the vines belonging to Rav Yosef. Amarle Rav Yosef, zil koitz. Rav Yosef says, cut down your trees. Amarle v'archiku v'archiki li. But I've taken pains to distance the trees 4 amos. I've maintained the necessary distance from your vineyard. Omar le, hani mili, le'ilonos. The distance of 4 amas is true when it comes to other types of trees. Aval le'gefane bo'inon tfei. But for vines, you require more asks. Wanan tnan echod gefane ve'echod kol ilon. But the Mishnah said there's no distinction. 4 is sufficient. Amar le, Rav Yosef responds, hani mili ilon le'ilon ugfanem le'gefanem. That's true when it's like types. Aval ilon le'gefane bo'inon tfei. But when it comes to two different species, namely you have Elon on one side and Gifanim on the other, the gap between them must be greater, and that's what you have, and you haven't distanced enough. Omale, Rova, who is being challenged by Rav Yosef, says, Ano lo kayatzna, the Omar Rav, hai diklo ditoin kava osur lemikze. I'm not cutting it down, he says. Rav said that a dekel, a palm tree that bears a kav, quantity of fruits, is also to be cut down. The Omar Rav Chanina lo shochiv shikhas bri. Rav Chanina reports that his son, whose name was Shikhas, he died. Why? Elo dekotz te'enosa belo zimne. Because he cut down a fruit-bearing tree, a fig tree, before its time. We find that dealing negatively with the fruit trees could be very dangerous, life-threatening. Rova goes on and says, more, I nichole lekutz. If you want to cut them down, go right ahead. Another incident. Rav Papa, and illustration 406 accompanies this. Rav Papa, havi le hano dikli amitzra de Rav Huna brei de Rav Yeshua. Rav Papa had palms growing on the border of Rav Huna, Breid of Yeshua, Ozal Ashkeche, Dehavi Chofar, Veko, Koyitz Roshav. Rav Papa noticed that Rav Huna was digging down and cutting away roots, the roots of his tree. Omar lay my high. Rav Papa stood there in amazement and said, what are you digging out the roots for? Amalei, Rav Huna answered, Tanan, we have a Tanaic source. Our Mishnah, Hayu Shroshim Yoitzin L'toch Shechaveru, Ma'amik Shloisha, Kedei Sheleyakev HaMachresha. That if the root system is encroaching into the friend's property, you're allowed to dig out the roots to a depth of 3 tefachim. Amalei, Rav Papa says back, Hani Mili Shloisha, that's fine and good if you're digging to a depth of 3 tefachim. More Kochofar Tvei, but you're digging down much more. Amalei, Rav Huna, who was digging down much more, says, Ano boru shichun moros ko chafarno disnan. I am digging pits and other types of water supplies. Disnan hoya choifer bor shiach umaora. As you can see in illustration 404, one who's digging those things, koitzets v'yorid, he cuts down as much as he needs. Vel eitzim shelo. That's the end of that source. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa, who was beside himself, he had these trees. He sees the neighbor digging down, legitimatizing his activity all the way through. So Rav Papa tells us, sort of like turns to the listening audience. He's not in this at this particular point. He's talking to us. He's not talking to Rav Huna. Amri lay. Mikulhu, velo yachilile, I brought many different rayas, and I was not successful in defeating him. Ad de amri le, ha de amar Rav Yehuda, until I cited to him Rav Yehuda's halacha, meitzar shechziku boi rabim osu lekalkaloi. A border or a path that the rabim has become used to, has become used to, you cannot change its status. So if a particular strip of land or area is being used over and over again for a period of time in a certain way, someone can't come along and change its purpose. How does that relate to us? So let's take a look at Rashi at the top. Shechziku bo rabim. La asoisoi lohen derech, that the rabbim converted a particular strip of land, wherever it may be, converted into their path. Osur lekalkaloi afapishu shel yochid. You can't change its status, even though it actually belongs to somebody. But that somebody who might have it in the land registry under his name, he can't change its purpose. What's the connection? V'ano nami ho achziki le. I too have been machzik on this meitzar with my trees. So what are you coming and trying to change matters by digging out their roots? So with that, Rav Papa seems to have pushed off Rav Huna, maybe caused him to halt his digging activities. Lebosser de Nofak. Omar. Rav Papa, after he left, Rav Huna, who wanted to dig, says, and again he turns to us, the listening audience, and says, Amai lo amrile, why didn't I tell him, Kan besoich sheish esrei amo, kan chutz l'sheish esrei amo. The halacha of meitzar shechziku bo rav moser l'kalkalo, that's when you're within 16 amas. The area that they're using, they are able to gain rights to a strip of land, having a width of 16 amas. I, however, am digging outside of that 16 amo area. And as a result, I can cut. I can cut out the roots, dig down, and I'm not restricted by Rav Yehuda's din of Meitzar Shechziku Bo Rabim. The Gemara continues. Oyachofer Bor Shiach Moro Koitzitz Viroid Vaitzim Shalo. Boy Mine Yankiv Hadaivo Merav Chisto Eitzim Shel Mi. Who? To whom will belong the wood or the roots that are being dug out? Amar lei tenisua. We have a notation between the Gemara and the Rashi. Notice a tough tshuva, or tirutz, a long response lasting several lines. All of these lines are dedicated to his response. To whom do the trees belong? So Rav Chisda answers. Look at the source, and he cites the source. Shroshe Ilan Shel Hedyo Haboyin B'Shel Hegdish. Illustration 410. In order to determine ownership of roots, we cite this case. A tree that belongs to a common man, and the roots of the tree are entering the field belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. That's B'Shel Hegdish. Beis HaMikdash was the owner of properties based on people donating or dedicating their properties to the temple fund. So that's what we have here, a piece of property belonging to Hektish. The source says, Lo nehenin velo moyalin, that midrabonon, one is not allowed to benefit from the roots. However, there's no isur mi'ila, which is the violation on a Torah level of benefiting improperly from things belonging to Hektish. So we're telling you here that as far as the Torah is concerned, the root system is not really Hektish, even though it's currently growing underneath Hektish property. The Gemara analyzes, E amris bishlam abosar ilon azlin, and if you say that the roots go according to the tree, In our case, we're interested in who the owner of the tree from which the roots come. So the roots are shayach, belong to that. Mishum hachi loy moyalin. Then I understand fully well why the source rules that there's no mi'ila on the roots growing from a common tree underneath Hegdish property. Elo I amres boser karka. If you say that identity is determined by the ground in which the roots are found, Amai loy moyalin? Why is there such a ruling that there's no mi'ila? Okay, that's the end of Rav Chisda's response. So if the question is, to whom do the roots belong? Just find out to whom the tree belongs. Gemara goes on though. Elamai, and we raise a question in response. This you could see on the side, it's a three-line effort. So according to what you've said, Boser ilon azlinon. Things are determined by tree identity. Emo seifa. We go to the end of the same source and also can look at illustration 4.11. It says, regarding roots, shel hegdish, you have roots of a tree. Someone had dedicated a tree to hegdish. Different case. The tree belongs to hegdish, and the root system is entering a field belonging to the common, to a private person, common field. That's shel hegdish haboim b'shel hedyot, that are entering a hedyot field. Loi nenin v'loi moyalin. There's no isur mi'ila in this case. Ah, but what did you say? He said, you go follow the tree. The tree in this case belongs to hegdish. V'i boser ilon azlinon. If you say the identity is determined by ownership of tree, amai loi moyalin. The Gemara answers that the case of the Reisha and the case of the Seifa are not complementary. There are different circumstances between them. Nidi Irya. Begidulin haboyin la'achar mikan askinan. Vekosovar ein me'ila begidulin. The case of the Seifa, which described a root system coming from a hegdish tree. True, someone was makdish the tree. But the hegdish covers everything that exists on the tree, regarding the tree, up till that point. What you see is what is. Namely, if you have a tree and it has roots that are 30 feet long, so 30 feet long worth of roots are hektish. What happens if after the point that you were maktishit, the roots continue to grow? Those are not included in the hektish. So the Seifa, when it describes the hektish roots as not creating an Isur Mi'ila, we're talking about the roots that grew after the point of the hektish. That's what the Gemara refers to as Gidulin Haboyin Le'achar Mikan. We can look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. You'll notice an asterisk to make it easy to find the point in the Rabbeinu Gershom. Le'olam Boser Ilon Azli Shoroshim. We'll maintain that principle that roots go according to the tree. V'amai Ein Moyolin B'Seifa. Why then in the Sefer was there no Mila? Answer, Mishum de'oysen asheroshim shel hegdish sheboyin b'stei hedyot. Those roots that were growing into the hedyot field, begidulin shel hegdish haboyin l'soda hedyot, le'achar she'ukdash askinon. The area growing in the soda hedyot were roots that were growing after the point he was makdish the tree. From the point he was makdish onwards, are not considered hegdish. Umishum hachi ein moilin, the sover ein moilin begidulin. Continuing in the Gemara, Ravina Omar. Ravina will contend that you go boser ilan, like we've said, you follow the tree. And as far as the Reisha and Sefer are concerned, lo kashya, we don't have to raise any difficulties. Kan besoich sheshes re'amo, the Reisha that said that there was a hedyot tree growing under a field of hegdish, and there was no mi'ila because that was within 16 amos of the tree. That's the Reisha case. Kan besok sheshes reyamo. Then we follow the tree. When you're within 16 amas of the tree. Kan the Seifa chutz l'sheshes reyamo. In the Seifa case, the tree was hegdish. But we weren't following the tree. Because you were talking about roots that were outside the 16 amo distance. We're more than 16 amas from the hegdish tree. Hence, lo mo'alin. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice the somewhat rare dramatic marking known as the firebox. A quick glance at the side, the nosei, the heading, the topic heading, that is featured as you go along in this edition of the Shas Ozer pre-mark Gemaras, you'll notice that this topic goes ad chof zayin amid beis. That indicates it's a long sugya, and hence Ula, who's the featured personality as far as the shittas are concerned, receives a firebox. Let's note what we have written. Din shel Ula, Ilon hasomuch lemeitzar, Sheish esrei amo. If you have a tree growing next to someone else's border, for a distance of, if it's within 16 amas, within 16 amas of someone's border, Gazlon hu, the tree and the owner thereof, is considered a thief. V'ein mevien mimenu bikurim. And it would be totally improper to bring bikurim fruits, the first fruits, that is a mitzvah to bring from the seven species that Eretz Yisrael was blessed with. It includes the grains of as well, chita, sora, and as well as five additional fruits. To bring bikurim from that would be improper. The Gemara will eventually seek out the source for Ula's halacha. Let's start the Gemara. Omar Ula, Ilan hasomuch lemeitzar besoch sheishes reyama, a tree growing within 16 amas of the border of another field owned by someone else. Gazlon hu, v'ein mevien mimenu bikurim. The Gemara presents, through the markings, a bracketed section, and the bracketed section is a long section. After the bracketed section, you'll notice a series of triangles. So let's say a word about the structure of the Gemara. Let's take advantage of our note on the inside margin. There's an asterisk that describes the role of these brackets. Besocha sograim, a Gemara mechapeses mokor l'shiur yenika she'omar Ula, 16 amas. Ula's din states that a tree that's within 16 amas of someone else's border, the roots will grow more. They'll grow beyond that point and encroach the field belonging to the neighbor and derive sustenance, absorb sustenance from the neighbor's field, help my tree grow. What kind of business is that? That my tree is benefiting at the expense of the next guy's field and its nutrients. My tree is absorbing the nutrients from the neighbor. That's gezel. So within the brackets, the Gemara is going to search for how do you know that the shiur yanika, that the distance in which a tree gains its nutrition, is 16 amas. Maybe if the tree is beyond 2 feet, between 2 amas, a tree no longer gets sustenance. It gets all its sustenance within 2 amas. How do you know that it's 16 amas, that's the distance for the tree sustenance? Then, where the note continues, Acharei Sograim, a Gemara Yakshe Sidra Shokushios, after the brackets, the Gemara will raise a series of questions, Al Dinoi Shel Ula. Sheroyim will see the Afilu Im Ho'ilon Somuch L'Stei Chaveru Mevi V'Koirei. We're going to see sources that would indicate that even if the tree is right up along the border of someone else, you do bring the Bikurim and read the Parsha that accompanies that ceremony. So in the brackets, to summarize, we're looking for distances of nutrition concerning tree roots. Ula's din having been stated that 16 amas, less than 16 amas of proximity to someone else's border is considered a gazlan and no bikurim, and then we're going to see after the brackets questions showing us that trees that are very close to someone else's border do not present a problem, and you could bring Bikurim. With all of that having been said, by way of introduction, we will learn the Gemara straight through. Mino le l'ula ha. From where does Ula know that the shiur yanika, the distance of nutrition for a tree, is 16 amas? And you'll notice the double underline. That is again a marking that indicates a series, something repetitious. And the note on the outside of the margin says, these are shlavim, they're stages, b'chipus mokor ledivrei ula, stages in seeking a source for ula's 16 amas. E lema midisnan, diagram 4.12, there's a source whose general topic has to do with the oncoming Shemitah year. The rule of Shemitah year is there are no agricultural activities allowed, and not only during the Shemitah year itself, but even a period of time preceding the Shemitah year. Agricultural activity, in general, without getting into details, comes to a halt. For example, plowing of fields can stop as early as Pesach before Shemitah, or dealing with grain fields or tree fields, would stop Shavuot's time, several months before the Shemitah year, which begins on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah being Echad B'Tishrei. There is an exception, and that is featured in the following source. The source says, Eser etios amafuzoros besoch beisa'a. If you have 10 saplings are delicate, they need care, and 10 of these are scattered, equidistant, scattered around a beisa'a, chorshin kol beisa'a bishvilon ad Rosh Hashanah. Shemitah doesn't mean that you have to suffer damage. So because these trees, these saplings, would suffer damage if not tended to, you're allowed to continue the plowing right up till Rosh Hashanah. We're not really here to focus on the dinim of Shemitah. We're in Mirtz Hashem going to learn all of Shas. Every Jew wants to strive to learn and to know all of Shas. And that includes Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, including Maseches Shviyas. There will be a time in Mirtz Hashem to focus on the halachas of Shemitah. However, for our purposes, we're interested in nutrition of trees. We have some dimensions here to work with. We were presented with an area called a base saw. Kamo havaluhu, what's the area, what's the square area of a base saw? Since a base saw measures 50 by 50 amas, the square area is 2,500, 50 by 50. Trei alfin v'chamesh mea garmidi, 2,500 amas. 2,500 square amas. L'chol chad v'chad, kamo moti lei, to each sapling, how much area does each sapling receive? Answer, 250. Moson v'chamshin, because we took 10, and we divided 2,500 by 10. Well, 250 square amas per tree doesn't match Ula's dimensions whatsoever. Ha lo havi de Ula. Diagram 4.1.3. If you take Ula's dimensions, what were Ula's dimensions? He said that if a tree is within 16 amas of another field, it is problematic. Now that was 16 amas was a point from tree in one direction to the neighbor. But trees aren't so focused in
which direction they derive their nutrients. Tree roots spread all over. So if it's 16 amas west, you can assume it's also 16 amas east, north, and south. In other words, in order to determine the area of nutrition that Ula's trees being a figure of speech, the trees according to Ula, what's the area that those would occupy for their nutrition? So you take not 16, but 32, because 16 is the radius, is only one side of the tree. The tree deriving benefit from all sides, it's really 32 by 32. 32 amas east-west, 32 amas north-south, and all around. So if you do that, you take 32 times 32, you get 1,024. That's much more than 250. So if we're looking for a source for Ula, we can't base ourselves on the source of Eser Netiyos. We see another double underline. That means we continue in our search for a source for Ula. Amir Sashem, next time, we will continue with that point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.